see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
And then Raven's like, I would punch that shark in the face. And I believe that, it.
You know what? One of those things is a true thing about sharks.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon.
The Bachelor Valentine's Day edition.
Happy Valentine's Day, guys. We are here right now with Danny Hoyt, one of the hosts of the AfterBuzz TV Bachelor podcast. He's in New York this week.
So we get him. Yay. Welcome, Danny.
We're really winning right now.
Thank you for reminding me that I'm single as could be. It's so good to be with you. I'm glad this is happening. This is real life.
I know. This is what happens.
Like, this is like a podcast Valentine's Day.
I know. It really is. Like the most important brand of love.
This is all the date I need. I got a double date with you. It's a 2-on-1, and I'm going
to
break
but
the
no
rules and
has
keep
to
both
go
of
home.
You. Yeah, no one has to go home. And Nick. Nick can stay there.
Okay, so we have so much to talk about. We have to talk about the big announcement last night. We have to talk about the date, which at this point seems, or the episode, which seems like a distant memory at this point. So,
I guess let's start with the recap and then we'll get into the big announcement.
We should. The only thing that matters anymore now that we know the outcome of the season, basically. Okay, so we start post cliffhanger after Nick swept into the girls' room to tell them that he no longer believes he can find love and that at any moment he could stop having any feelings for them.
Did you guys think for a second, by the way, that he was going to maybe end this, like end the journey?
No, 100%
you think so?
No. No, we have preview clips of the rest of the season. Like, we've seen the rest of the season in flashes. Like, even at one point it seemed like they were oversetting up Rachel's confidence to make it seem like she was going to go home. And I was like, we've seen her on an Arctic date.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But if there was somebody that would just bounce, he would be a guy that would bounce and be like, I'm sorry.
He totally would. He would totally do like a post-it breakup.
He would. But if we, knew
I'm sorry,
that he wasn't going
I can't.
To. We knew there was
Don't
a proposal.
Hate me.
Burger.
But he's never seen Sex in the City, obviously. So, I totally think he would. But we knew that he didn't, because that's the thing, is they try to tease these things, but they've already teased other things that conflict with that.
Also, every time they try to do one of these big dramatic reveals, it's always a misdirect.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you've watched the show enough, you're like, okay, I get it.
Every time. And I feel like there's these patterns I've started to notice. However, I feel like they broke some of those this year. Like these patterns you notice where somebody's, you know, like, for example, Sarah. Sarah was somebody that I thought was like, I had her in an early prediction, like top five maybe, because they weren't giving her a lot of screen time. And then she goes home and still got like no screen time.
Yeah.
So these patterns of where they kind of save some of someone to see, like Whitney.
Yeah.
Where I thought maybe Whitney would go far and then didn't at all.
She made it.
Considering how little she spoke on screen, she made it pretty far.
She was like this season's Samantha Stephan.
Yes. That's what I said.
I was saying that to Claire
the other day.
And I was like, Samantha Stephan? I thought she went home like the first episode.
I was like, no, Claire, she made it to like week seven.
Yeah. There's usually a couple girls who seem cool but make it kind of far, but they never really break out. I think that Catherine kind of messed with everyone's perception of what could happen because she was so absent.
Yeah.
until about this point in the show was
when
we started
to see her. That's what I'm basing it off of, too. Yeah, it was
right.
Like, we didn't see her, and then all of a sudden, oh, my gosh, she won. So.
Yeah.
But they also had such an amazing date. And I feel like I haven't – we had some early, really, really excellent dates with
yeah.
Nick. And then this week, the only one that seemed really joyful was Rachel.
Yeah.
I know, that's
and
killing
that was,
me.
It was really – and now that we know – you know, spoiler alert, but not because everyone knows she's the Bachelorette. It kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, made it kind of weird. I don't know. We'll break it. I guess you guys want
to
save that.
Talk okay.
We'll
later.
Talk about that later.
Because
okay.
I have theories.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Theories are proliferating.
So Nick announces.
I'm sorry.
Claire is throwing these words into
there. Claire is an English major.
What was the one you used earlier?
Mellifluous.
Mellifluous and proliferating.
I've been doing some
mental tally.
Book reading recently. okay. So Nick leaves and just runs into Chris Harrison on the beach.
Convenient.
It's just, it was fortuitous.
By the
I'm
way,
sorry. I'm going to get really self-conscious now.
No, do it. I like it. When I watch this back, I'll be taking notes only on your word choices. I have a question about you,
yeah.
about this, by the way. Do you think Chris only flies down for like those little moments, or do you think he stays for the whole week?
I think he's hanging out and he's on the beach.
In a robe with mimosas?
I think he literally is.
Because
they need him at a moment's notice. They're not going to fly him all the way down.
Yeah, he's just having a really great time at a 5-star hotel watching a lot of cable television.
So Chad was right last season when he's like, go back to drinking your mimosas in your bathrobe.
Yeah, I think that was based on observation of what Chris Harrison was doing.
That was very real. Okay.
Everyone was like, sick burn, but really, it's
also,
actually.
Also, you're like, wow, that's the best life ever. Well done, Chris Harrison.
Yeah, jeez. Okay, so yeah, he runs into Chris.
And at Nick's build last week, he talked about, like, he didn't really have any downtime because he's always on camera. He's always doing a date or an interview. He was like, but Chris Harrison kind of just, like, hangs out. Like, he doesn't have to be on camera. So he's the one who has all this downtime. And that kind of reaffirmed that for me. Okay, so Chris Harrison is just chilling on this beach.
Ready for a therapy session.
And Nick really opens up to him about how his past is coming back to haunt him.
I will say, I feel like Nick was, we've seen the sensitive side of Nick and his grown throughout the episodes, but this episode was adult Nick, and I loved it. Because I feel like, and I know you guys have had Nick on here, we've had Nick on our show multiple times as well, and you see that side of Nick, but we hadn't really seen it as, like, from a show standpoint.
Yeah.
And I feel like we saw this, like, a little bit of adult side of Nick where he really is wanting to find that more than anything.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think Corinne is so fun to watch. I think she's taken up a lot of the space on the show that would normally go to developing other relationships where Nick has a bit more of a voice. Like when we see little clips of him with Rachel or Vanessa, sometimes you see his personality coming out, but it's so brief always.
It's very mellifluous, you know. It's
kind of, I'm going to make a cheat sheet for you.
Okay.
That's not very close, but they're both positive words. he tells Chris that he's been very confident in relationships before, only to have the rug pulled out from under him. We hear him use that terminology again a little bit later. But he is sort of able to put these pieces together in a way where with Ben's whole narrative was, I don't feel like I can be loved. I didn't feel like it before, and then I went on The Bachelorette, and I really didn't feel loved, and now I just don't know if I can be loved. And it was very one note, and partly because I think because Ben was very young. And Nick has a bit more of a nuanced perspective on his experience and how it's affected him, and is able to, like, recognize his emotions as they're happening, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I think he internalizes well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, it probably is pretty jarring for him as someone who has done this show a few times. So I would imagine feels a lot of pressure to kind of deliver on this season and to have things work out in a good way, but also only wants to get engaged to someone if he's actually into them. So I feel like he just got a little bit shaken this week and was like, wait. What if none of these, like, random 25 women that were selected for me are people I actually want to be with in the real world? Which would not be an insane thing if you're just thinking about, like, The Bachelor separate from the structure of the show.
Yeah. And I asked him whether it was a big adjustment to go from being a contestant to being a lead. But you see that And that maybe doing it so many times was a disadvantage because he's gotten so into the groove of being a contestant. Like, he's comfortable with the beats of that, like, having to power through when the lead is spending time with other people and staying really focused on them. And it's a completely different experience to have to prioritize different relationships. And that gives him all this space to question each of the relationships. And he is really used to using the strength of his focus. And that's the opposite of what he needs right now.
I know. Well, I think the paradox of focusing on one person to now focusing on all these and compartmentalizing each one, I think it's thrown his whole, because he's an intelligent guy. And it's thrown his whole brain system in this loop where he's, who was it that said he was getting in his head? Was it Vanessa?
Vanessa
was like, I think he's getting in his head, and he is. And you can see it happening. He's just in his head. And I think you're very, to your point, I was like, he has this moment where like, oh my gosh, there's six girls left, and what if it's none of them?
Right.
Like, I would go sit on a beach and try to find Chris Harrison as well in a cocktail.
Comfort me, Chris.
Yeah, and Chris is always sort of like, well, okay.
Yeah, he's a man of few words. He's very prolific. Nope, not gonna try it.
And so finally, Nick goes back to the women who are sitting there in just complete silence. It was a very atmospheric open to the episode. There was no music. It was just completely silent room. He comes back in and gives a little speech about how the reason that he sent Danielle L home was that he was forcing it, but he also saw that he had these stronger relationships with the six of them.
I have a question for you guys about that moment.
Mm-hmm.
When he said that, and they cut to each girl's face with this like bright like smile, like each one had a. Did you notice this? Each one had a moment
they
where it's like Rachel smiles. Do you think that was actually in the moment, or there was a producer later that walked in and they had a camera on them, and the producer was telling them like, "You're gonna go to Bimini or whatever," and that's when they caught the genuine smiles. Because did you notice that it was so
K's
commercial?
I would be surprised if it was all in the moment. I wonder if they just keep like the camera on each of them so that they can catch that one
smile
moment when they smile. Like when Nick comes back in and they're like, oh, and then they use that later.
Yeah. But to Nick's credit, I think that they were all so worried, and I think he did provide a sense of relief in his explanation of Danielle L. And like, because they were all like, he just sent a really good girl home. You know, this is what's going through their brain, at least I think from a male standpoint. And for him to explain it as, I had stronger relationships in this room, if you're a girl sitting there, did that do it for you? Did that justify?
I mean, yes and no. I think that if you already felt good about the relationship, it might help. But if you're questioning it at all, I would be thinking, well, he felt like he was forcing it with Danielle, but
is
it
he
seemed
forcing
fine.
It with me?
Is he forcing it with
gosh.
Me?
Yeah, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
And I think that's where we heard Corinne and a few of them say a few times, Nick is just so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Because once he decides this isn't it with someone, he will send them home, which is actually something that I really like about him. Hmm. He's very precise in his breakups.
Yeah.
Once he makes a decision, he can't fake it.
Yeah. I mean, he couldn't fake it at the beginning. I think it would have been really more comfortable for him if he would have had the option of just sending home
20 of them.
Yeah, yeah. 15 at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't know. None of these women are real. And they're like,
read
literally,
it on his face
we have
when he's
five
not
more
into
weeks.
It. He doesn't make eye contact with them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, and I had this thought, too. There's been the onus on the rose ceremony has so, it's become such a small thing. Like, nobody really cares. We didn't even have one. So I'm wondering, like, in the future, like, would they change that? Because the rose ceremony is such a small part of the show, at least after the first like 4 or 5 episodes. Like, I could see them changing the format at some point.
It would be kind of amazing because like it makes a lot of sense at the beginning when you have to let go like 5 girls at once. Imagine if instead they just did them like ad hoc at any given moment and he had to just ax like 7 girls in an episode at random moments.
Yeah, they're like sitting in their cocktail dress.
That would
and he's
really...
like, you know, that was a great sob story, but I'm going to be honest.
It's like American Idol back in the day. It's like they put them in 3 rooms and like one room stays and the rest of them go.
Oh, that would be
That's going to fuel my getting laid off nightmares. I always have very creative ones. So
we got to move on.
Vanessa
gets the date card.
Corinne, obviously, only girl left who hasn't had a one-on-one date, is really expecting it, is very freaked out that Vanessa gets it instead. The date card says, let's go deeper, which, kind of an inopportune, I don't know if that's the right word.
It is. Yeah, I was an English major.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's... It's maybe not the phrase I would use
They're
for
like,
a date for Nick.
We're just going to really lean into the fact that he's our sexual bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah, producers know exactly what they're
doing. Oh, they totally do. And Corinne gives this amazing little commentary on it where she's like, I'm really freaked out because I think what it means is that he wants to go deeper emotionally with her. And that really freaks me. I'm like, yeah, it's the Bachelor. Like, that's the whole point of every date. Like, what would it freak you out less if the point of the date card was we're going to have a sex competition and see how deep it can go in? Like, would that make you less freaked
out? I mean,
out?
Honestly, maybe.
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 She feels like she can compete on that front because she has
she
a lot of sex
she
charm.
She's great sex abilities.
Sex abilities, yeah. There it is.
Yeah, she
I've
said
never
both
heard that
things
phrase
this episode,
before.
Sex abilities and sex charm. Neither of those are phrase because, well, for one thing, sex is not an adjective. So also she's bloated, which she pointed out. She was like, I'm really bloated.
And she I
was
said
like,
that?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
It was she part said, of her monologue.
She said
about
something like, I'm frustrated and I'm bloated.
Yeah,
and she was like, I'm bloated. And I was like, no, I know the feeling when I've been eating nothing but trays and trays of room service
and
drinking
lots of
champagne. That's kind of what happens. So Vanessa and Nick are going on the first date of the week. And it is on
it's a
a
lot
yacht.
Of boating dates this yeah. week. They just didn't – they decided not to get very creative with the dates.
Yeah.
They're like, just walk around this island – go on a boat.
Had you guys ever heard of Bimini, by the way?
Yeah.
I had not.
I had not. Okay. I've been to the Bahamas and I've never heard of Bimini.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
But it looked cool.
I've never been to the Bahamas, but I have heard of Bimini.
What an interesting situation we have here. I think for me, I started wondering, like, is it that small of an island that there's just not?
Well, on the map that they showed us, it looked very tiny.
Very tiny.
Yeah. There's one bar that isn't at an all-inclusive resort or something. They were like, this is where the locals go.
And they're just like two guys playing dominoes.
Yeah. The locals are not going to be going there anymore soon. Because I'm going there and I'm finding that bar and I'm ruining it.
Same.
I mean, you are recreating Nick's journey.
Yeah.
Claire's just following in Nick's
That's
footsteps.
Where I'm going on my honeymoon. Yeah. I want to get some good advice for Greg from
when
that
they,
bartender.
When they introduced themselves, the bartender was hoping they were kind of auditioning to be like the new bartender on Bachelor in Paradise. Like, what's your name?
Jorge would never share the spotlight.
Yeah.
No. Jorge's selfish with the spotlight.
And he deserves it. He works really hard for that spotlight. But no, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Vanessa has never been on a boat. We know that's not true. We've seen her on a boat before
yeah.
in this season. I think she meant yacht.
Yeah.
So, fine. She's never been on a yacht.
A yacht.
As yachts go, it's pretty small. It's more like a boat.
I'm not a frequent yachter, but I'll take your word for it.
Like, neither, nothing really stuck with me from this date.
Yeah.
No.
I'm trying to remember
they
anything
snorkeled,
that stuck
they
out.
Made out in the water.
It was pretty.
It was pretty.
And I think anytime you're in the water pretty. With bodies, that's
yeah.
sexually arousing
yeah,
and intimate.
I feel
okay,
like
we're learning a lot of things about you right now.
Well, I'm just saying.
You're like the bodies.
When in Bimini.
Yeah. I mean, they mostly talked on the boat from what we saw about Danielle L. and how they both felt about her being sent home. And but they seem pretty comfortable, like, having that conversation.
Yeah, and the whole time, you could just tell that the producers were kind of psyching Vanessa up to admit that she's falling in love with Nick. Like, that's where the entire thing was heading.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does, at their evening portion, say that she's falling in love with him. And Nick says, I really, really like you.
That's Which, not even the worst thing that he said.
What yeah, was
and
worst
he
thing?
Went on a whole.
It was, I think it was the way that he started because she said, "I'm falling in love with you." He sort of winces. He like kisses her, but he looks sort of uncomfortable.
Yeah, didn't he kiss? He kissed her right away when she said it, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then he sort of pulls back and he pauses for a while, and then he says something like, "I've been in love before. I've been in love on this show before." Bad way to start. Not an auspicious beginning.
If I'm Vanessa, yeah. I'm like, okay, and
yeah.
continue.
And you
where
can
are we
see
going?
That
also,
in her
I
eyes.
Know. Yeah, she was getting increasingly yeah. freaked out through his whole rambling. I read it as though Nick is a very self-aware guy.
Mm-hmm.
He watched Ben's season, and I feel like there were a couple things, and we saw both of them play out this episode, that Nick told himself he 100% was not going to do.
He was
not going to sleep
Ben
with someone.
So
he was not going to sleep with someone outside of the fantasy suite,
mm-hmm.
and he was not going to say, I love you to more than one person. So I think he was trying to explain that to Vanessa, but it came off so weird.
That's the thing, is she doesn't always need an explanation.
Right.
Because usually on the show, even Ben didn't do this with Six Women Left. Usually on the show, they say, I'm falling in love with you. And you say, thank you so much for telling me that. You're so special to me. I'm so glad you're here. Please keep opening up to me.
Right. We've seen this before. You actually don't need to explain why you're not saying I love you back when there's six people still there.
Like, the way that he opened it up, it sounded like he was going to finish with, and I know that you're not the person that I'm going to feel
like. Yeah, that's where I thought it was going to.
Yeah, and I was shocked. But he was just being so clinical about it.
Do you think he rehearsed it in his head, being someone that thinks through? And tell this season he's had a couple rehearsed
speeches.
Right,
I think that's sort of where he ends up coming off weirdly sometimes.
It just came
out. Because he's thought so many things through.
Yeah.
And so Vanessa feels really disappointed that he didn't reciprocate. She felt really sure that he felt the same way, which seemed a little naive because on the show, like with Six Women Left, they never
say I love you.
But I do think that I can see why she was really thrown by his response and felt not great about the like didn't feel affirmed.
Yeah.
Because I think you go into that conversation, if she knows she's going to say it, you have to set yourself up mentally to not be validated, you know, by watching the show. Like, we know the track record. But I think nobody's prepared for a moment to tell someone you love them and not hear it back. Like, nobody's actually emotionally prepared.
It never feels great.
I've never done it. Yeah. I've never had that happen to me. I don't know about you guys, but I don't know how to prepare myself for that.
Yeah. I mean, the great thing is to say it to someone who is so startled and unsure of how to react that they just say it back. Yeah.
Like, it doesn't
matter.
They're
like, we've been dating for a week, but yeah, I love you too.
Just says a lot about
it. Do you want to get some dinner?
Claire's early dating life.
it's all good stuff.
Yeah. I also feel like if that happens when you're like 18, you're kind of. It's
sure.
Fine.
But when you're 31 and 36.
Yeah. No, if that was right now, I don't think I'd feel great about it.
Right.
Yeah, and I think it's good that he didn't just say it. But
we didn't need all of the exposition.
I think he thought too much about trying to make her understand where he was coming from and not enough about where she would be receiving it from. And he asked her to trust him. He's been asking her that a lot. So, I mean, I think that's one reason that I always feel like she is probably going to win, is because he's giving her these little, like, seeds of, please just stick this out and there will be a reward at the end.
And realistically, she's the only one, now that we know it's not Rachel, that I feel like I've seen a real intense spark with.
Sure.
I mean,
I
the only other one was Christina, and he sent her home. Like, she seemed like the dark horse person to me who didn't expect.
Yeah.
And then she came on really strong. And then
okay, so we'll get to that.
Meanwhile, back at the house, Corinne is confiding in Rachel. And we learned tonight that Rachel is Team Corn.
Yeah
Team
they're
Corn. They're friends.
They're definitely friends. But I do love their scenes together because Rachel is so much older and more mature.
She just is sitting and nodding and trying to be very diplomatic always.
Yeah.
And Corinne's like, I just don't see.
That's a great
Vanessa
Corinne over there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Hi.
She's like, I just don't see much depth there. Every time I talk to her, it's just like, oh, my family's Italian. We get together every weekend and make dinner. And I'm a special needs teacher. Over and over again.
I thought that was kind of aggressively, like, attacking a little bit.
It was pretty nasty.
Yeah.
I think we saw Corinne for the first time being really shaken this week.
Yeah, we did.
Which actually I kind of enjoyed because she seemed like less of a caricature and more of a human.
Thank you. I completely agree. I was like, oh, okay, there's a side to you that I actually get it. I get you a little more.
Yeah, I was like, oh, your anxiety. I relate to that.
Sure. She's more relatable. Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I feel like she's going through a stage that a lot of us went through much younger because we didn't have maybe
she also
the support structure of living at home with a nanny.
She is quite young.
She's young, but like when I was 24,
but
I think I had gone through that stage already.
She owns and runs a multi-million-dollar business.
She runs it.
She
which is why
it.
She can take a several-month break.
Yeah.
And also she's a model because, you know, those things go together. But like, I don't know how she finds the time. Probably because her nanny is doing everything for her. But like, no, I think by the time you're 24 – you've gone through maybe in college some of these experiences where you learn to question yourself a little bit. And she's had so much of a support structure that it's a little bit delayed. I know she's still very young, but I think most of us go through this like breaking out and learning to cope with our emotions mm-hmm. without
around, like the 21
without
year,
just slathering yeah, them everywhere.
18 to 22. That's sort of the
shoot.
Yeah.
I think mine was even into my like late 27, 28.
Well, you know, for men it's different.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I really came out here to get consulted with relationship advice.
Yeah, well, we're here.
Don't
for
worry,
that.
We have a lot of opinions.
yeah. We've been listening, and we're ready to tell you what's wrong with you. I would be really worried, actually, if anyone was listening to me, what they would tell me about my mental health, the things I've said on this show. Okay, so meanwhile,
there's a group date.
They get the group date card.
Christina, Raven, and Corinne get the group date. Corinne is obviously even more insecure now because she gets another group date.
Which means no one-on-one before hometowns, which is kind of crazy.
Have we ever seen that? I was trying to think this morning. Have I ever seen someone go to hometowns without ever getting a one-on-one?
It's not something I can remember.
Me either. Yeah. I would be interested to know if that's ever happened.
Yeah. I would need to do some digging because I don't know if I would remember that off the top of my head, but it does seem very odd.
Yeah. And I guess we still don't know technically if she's going to hometowns.
And that's
I think it's pretty
thing.
Safe to say that she is, but...
Yeah,
we don't have 100% confirmation.
Because we're still waiting for the big shock, I can't believe he would do that thing, when all the girls are still together. They're about to be split up for hometowns, and they never are together again. Is it at a rose ceremony,
yeah,
or does it happen before hometowns?
Or do you think that's a clip from something else that they just didn't use?
No, I think it still happened, because I think they were leading us up to think potentially that it was that he slept with Corinne.
Right.
Which obviously... I was actually really proud of Nick that is not a thing. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I still don't know what it is. And it seems heavy, like very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The heaviest thing of the season maybe so far.
What is it going to be, though?
And then we see a clip of a woman showing up.
Oh.
I would bet a lot of money I know who that is.
Who?
I thought it was Andy.
I think it's
Andy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
The hair looked like Andy.
The heels and the height.
Yeah.
The
it looked
three
like
H's,
Andy.
I like to say, you know.
And, like, who – like, there are some women who look a lot like Andy on the show, but I can't see any of them coming back.
Do you think this is just going to be one of those hyped things, and then she'll come back and be like, here's some very, basic advice for you?
They said in the preview comes back to confront him, but do you think she's coming back kind of what Nick did to Caitlin, like – I maybe still have feelings for you now that she's not with Josh.
No.
Do you think that's even a remote possibility?
She has no feelings for him.
She definitely has no feelings for him.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, have you read her book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's not very nice to him. It's meaner to Josh, but fairly.
Fairly, yeah.
No, I don't think she – I think that if anything, she would be going in to give some sort of feedback on how he maybe has, like, shot himself in the foot.
Mm.
Like, maybe it's not, like, the most friendly advice session, but...
And then they'll end it by, like, clearing the air, and she'll wish him well.
Yeah. Hugs, wish him well.
And then they'll go back to not being friends at all.
If it is Andy, do you think they asked Caitlin, too? And she was like, nah, I'm good.
Well, did you see them all on... what show was that?
Was it Kimmel?
No, I think it was the after show, maybe. No.
No.
I think it was Kimmel after the first episode. They, like, went
with the three of them.
Yeah,
with
the three
the
of them.
The three of them. And Caitlin seemed totally chill about it.
Yeah.
Like, she
I did see that.
Kept saying and really annoying Andy, like, I'm happily engaged. I don't care. Andy was like, fuck off, Caitlin. I don't think that Caitlin really cares anymore, but I think they're friendly enough. Andy has always had these really, like, naughty feelings towards Nick because of how awkwardly their season ended.
Yeah, and after the final rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that
Josh
was
such
so uncomfortable
a sticking
with
point
him.
In her relationship with Josh.
Sure.
Which is more on, you know, it's Josh's fault, but.
Yeah, and the fact that he did, you know, say that thing to her on TV that really upset people about how they slept together. I think that she has a lot more reasons to be
weird
about him.
Sure. Yeah.
So
and also apparently they had like a very odd sexual experience for her book.
Apparently.
So
if it's not Andy, we just had a great conversation about Andy.
Yeah. I feel like
it's totally going to be
I don't
like,
know who else it
It's going to be Liz
could
or
be.
Something.
Liz we'll like, got highlights and came back.
Yeah. And she does her hair differently and completely now.
So the group date. They are on a yacht.
snorkeling. Another, yeah.
And they're snorkeling.
They all jumped
this
off.
Time
the yacht.
With sharks.
Yeah, there's so
that was the only like entertaining part of this was their discussion about.
Yeah. Would you guys do that, by the way? Would you do it?
No.
Like you would have sat on the yacht and be like, nah, I'm good. I'll wait here.
I think I would have done it. Oh, God, I might have gotten freaked out.
No, if I had to do it on The Bachelor, I would do it.
I would do it.
But it's like bungee jumping. Would I do it? No. Would I do it if I were being filmed and put on the spot? And like, yes, probably.
Because it's one of those things on my bucket list. He said
like
it was something that wasn't.
I'm way more likely to swim with a shark than like scale a building.
Right.
Okay.
Like jumping off of something.
I would rather trust a shark than trust my own ability to adequately rappel down a building.
Exactly.
That is
quote that somewhere.
True.
That's a great quote right there. Here's your soundbite.
Like, Nick, take note. He just looked at Nick. So I really liked, I think my favorite part was how Raven said that she thought Christina or Corinne would get eaten because sharks can smell fear.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I love Raven.
And then Raven's like, I would punch that shark in the face. And I believe that, it.
You know what? One of those things is a true thing about sharks. I don't think they can smell fear. But it is a good idea to punch them in the face.
And also, she would bring
you.
A stiletto with her and probably just crush
yeah.
that shark.
She probably
yeah,
just
it was
has
like,
one
I would
time.
Really, really believe
yeah,
that
I
she
would
beat the shit out of
I would trust her
shark.
To follow through on her word.
So they all jump in. And this is after, by the way, Nick massaged suntan lotion.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Into Christina's
inner thigh.
The inner thigh is what got
like,
me. The
why?
Rest of it was like, fine, okay, yeah. your lower back. The inner thigh was like.
He was like, it's really important to wear sunscreen.
Right. Also,
here.
The way he said it was like, oh.
It is very
yeah,
like
sunscreen.
Sexual Nick
I'll
way.
Rub it in. I'm like,
it made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. He was like, this is just what we do on this season.
Also,
we
then they like did a really close shot of her inner thigh. I was like, this is a very odd.
Yeah, and the music yeah. was weird. I remember watching this. I was eating an everything bagel this morning watching this, and I was like, what is
Danny's
going on?
Danny's first everything bagel, everyone.
Yeah, it
was. A big moment.
First.
Big
I went to
moment.
6 a.m. I went to this little place, little
you
Jewish
spot. You can get an
spot.
Everything
oh my
bagel any time of the day or night here.
But
in
this
New
one's
York
like
City.
Freshly made.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been here before, never done it. I don't know why.
Well, now you'll have to.
I will forever associate everything bagels with her inner thigh. That's just realized this
oh, God.
In my head. It's interesting.
Oh, wow, that is an interesting combo.
Thanks for that, Nick.
Right
I mean,
there.
There are worse. There are worse associations.
True.
She looked great. I liked her bathing suit.
She did look great.
Yeah, they all looked great.
They all looked great, and they all jump in the water, swim with the sharks. It actually looked kind of cool. I have gone swimming
cool.
with sea lions, which are also violent.
Oh wow.
They weren't
yeah, I like
being violent.
Snorkeling. It's fun.
Yeah. And then Christina gets a little freaked out. She's like, I've been through enough in my life.
She's like, look,
I don't
want to take enough
this.
Risks.
Yeah.
I don't need to risk being eaten by a shark.
She's like, I escaped prostitution and yeah. lipstick diet in Russia to come here to you. And now you're making me risk my life to be shark food.
I really like Christina.
She's
I do
great.
Too. She grew on me a ton. I think she's a paradise contestant.
I saw
I
someone tweeting.
But yeah. I, think so.
I saw someone tweeting like, "Please don't make Christina go on Paradise. She's been through enough."
That's true.
But I think if she's an original, and this is I know this is separate, but if she's an OG cast member, like first week,
yeah, then she would do
I
well.
I think she finds love, and it goes amazing.
I think it would be insane to me if they didn't put her in first
yeah.
week. Like, have some respect.
I know.
You know?
Some
exactly.
respect.
Have some respect for
no,
Christina.
She's fantastic. I really want to get her on the show. That's one of my.
Yeah.
Missions. I want her on our show.
We've been buttering her up on Twitter.
We've been tweeting at her.
Ooh. It's all genuine. Genuine buttering up. So Nick gets off, gets on the boat again to comfort Christina, and Corinne is very annoyed because it's not fair. And I was like, remember, Corinne, when you didn't were scared of the cow poop
and you
left
refused
and cried.
To shovel the poopy?
Yeah.
The poopy.
The poopy.
And Nick didn't follow you, and I know it's not fair, but that was just his choice.
Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about the poopy.
We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. When we get back, we'll have even more with Danny Hoyt. Stay with us. If you, like the two of us, are just always desperate to bring more coziness into your life,
may we suggest Barefoot Dreams, especially now because the brand is celebrating their 30th anniversary.
With those 30 years of coziness, Barefoot Dreams celebrates being the originators of everyone's favorite luxe home blanket.
I mean, there's a reason why Barefoot Dreams has been on Oprah's favorite things list 6 times.
If there's anything I trust more than Oprah's favorite things list, it's 6 of Oprah's favorite things list. I mean, come on. Dressing head to toe in Barefoot Dreams is the key to comfort, as their collection of ultra soft robes, loungewear, and accessories are made with premium materials.
And their products make perfect gifts, too.
I'm a huge fan of just swaddling myself in a big cozy robe. So I know, Emma, I'm very excited for the Barefoot Dreams robe that is heading my way right now. I was so excited to pick it out, and I'm so excited to try it on. Like, the perfect cozy robe.
I'm so excited, too.
Oh, my God. It's going to change my life, I think.
We'll just be swaddling ourselves in coziness 100% of the time. And I think we can all agree that, like, that is the lifestyle which we deserve and to which we aspire. Thank you, Barefoot Dreams.
For Love to See It with Emma and Claire listeners, you can get 15% off your first purchase at barefootdreams.com with the code LTSI15.
Don't miss out on Barefoot Dreams' soft, soothing fabrics that will bring luxury to your life. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
And you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week.
Eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Just heat and savor the good stuff.
Plus, you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. And you can pause or reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
They're celebrating Earth Day all month long at Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Especially since I've been back from my travels, I've gotten really out of practice with my normal meal prep. And so Factor has been really helping me kind of bridge that gap, know that I have healthy, whole meals in my fridge ready to eat when I need them.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it's, I mean, it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Before we get back to the show, have you had a chance to find Here to Make Friends on iTunes? If not, now is the perfect time to subscribe and give us a rating. Every time we get a new subscription or review, our show climbs the iTunes chart, which helps other people discover our show.
Okay, now back to the show.
And then we move on to the evening portion. They each get a little bit of one-on-one time.
You think it was interesting that he pulled Christina first? Do you think that because he recognized that she was having a hard day and he's kind of just furthering, trying to comfort her?
Yeah, and I mean, it felt very natural at the time because it seemed like they were really connecting.
They were connecting more than the other girls, yeah.
Yeah, and he often does kind of pull aside the person that he wants to talk to first.
Yep, that's his tell.
Yeah.
Which was interesting then that she was the one that went home. It was very
odd. Maybe he was just like in this middle evaluation process and he was like, I gotta
spend time with her.
Yes, it seemed like they had a really good conversation.
Right?
They were cuddling.
Corinne is just sitting over there like housing cheese cubes. The other most relatable moment of hers. That would be me too. I'd be like so bored.
Corinne, I
drinking
speak
champagne,
from experience,
eating cheese.
This is why you feel bloated. It feels great and I love cheese, but think ahead a little bit. I love Raven and Corinne's interaction during that, though. Raven's just sort of like, what's going on there, buddy?
Hello, buddy.
How's that cheese? Are you liking that?
Raven's so real.
Oh, she's great.
I like her a lot. So we get a little bit more of Raven's story this time. They sit down. She reveals that she was going to go to law school, which I don't think was anything that – I don't think we'd heard that before.
No, and I don't know why they saved that or didn't show that before.
Yeah, and she also mentioned it. It sounded like Nick had heard before maybe that she had thought about law school because she said, oh, yeah, that's why I lost interest in law school. I had to move home.
Yeah, that
it
was
sounded like something they'd talked
that
about.
It was a heavy moment, too, to realize. You know, anytime somebody has something major in their life.
Right, so like for everyone listening, she reveals that her dad was diagnosed with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That was very sad.
America already loves Raven, you know? Mm-hmm. I think she's got America's vote already, and it just made me realize even more, like, it's if she doesn't win, it's going to be even more heartbreaking. Like, that could be the moment, like, you know what I mean? That we see a lot of the tears is, like, something mm-hmm. to do with Raven.
It's just funny to me because, like, I don't feel their connection.
Right, but I love her.
I like her a lot, but she's not my favorite
really?
Of the women. Yeah,
he's a pretty good group left,
he has
honestly.
A good group.
I actually really
Yeah.
Like most of them.
I don't see them together, but I like her a lot.
I think the beating up her ex with a stiletto moment was a big turnoff for me.
Yeah, sure.
And none of the other women have done that. And they're all so great. So it's just like these are the things that we're picking between.
I'm going to be really real. I think something – I'm from Nebraska, and I've always been a fan of people with accents, but especially southern accents.
It's a really cute accent.
There's something about it. My mom and I always do this. Like, you can say anything in a southern accent. So I think part of it is I'm like – like, oh, my gosh, that baby's ugly. And it's still kind of like, oh, you know what I mean?
I think we're going to have four very different hometowns.
Very different.
Which is awesome.
I think that was almost part of it, too, that they were like, that they wanted to have a range of women. And they do. They have Corinne.
It'll be really fun. Corinne's will be obviously hilarious. It's going to be all about the nanny. It's going to be ridiculous.
The nanny / maid.
Do you think Raquel's going to get a lot of the time, like more than her family?
Yes. Maybe.
You think they're going to make fun of it almost?
I think hers is going to be the lighthearted, funny date. Yeah.
Who's going to be the serious?
I think, well, if Rachel goes home next week, hers might be the one that's like, her federal judge father isn't into Nick. You know, I could see something like going a little weird with that one.
She also mentioned this episode that she's never brought home a white boyfriend.
Yeah, which I thought was very interesting to hear. She's dated him but never brought one home.
Yeah.
I kind of liked that they went into that a little bit. Should we just skip ahead to
Well, first of all, we should point out that Raven gets the group date rose.
Yes. And, oh, and then we have Danielle's date. Oh, God, I like literally almost forgot about it.
Oh, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah.
The basketball and the whole – yeah, I forgot about that a little bit.
Yeah, this was the
classic – well, that says a lot.
This was the classic play-a-pickup ball game with classic. Local children.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, their conversation. Like he said, there was a lack of conversation, and we could feel it as a viewer. Mm-hmm. It was just like this dry, like, awkward
– and they didn't really play music. Yeah. So it made it so awkward.
There was just no
substance.
You could
feel the silence. He was like, so we'd go to Wisconsin –
and she's like, yep.
Yeah.
He was like, just north of Georgetown or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, just up there. Like, it was very stilted. And you could also kind of feel the producer intervention here. It felt as though Danielle had been buttered up and been told, like, you need to open up to him. He just needs reassurance. Like, I could almost see those wheels turning because she really built herself up. Like, Vanessa.
It didn't seem like she was giving a lot in the rest of, like, and I think she is sort of someone who holds back a little bit,
and also understandably given
the lead.
Given her
understandably
history.
And I think it's her personality too that she's a little quieter, which is fine.
How recent was that issue?
I think like 5 years ago.
Was it 5 years? And she's 31, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so she was in her mid-20s.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and she definitely seems like someone who definitely is very cautious.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's what we're seeing is some cautiousness in her. I think she's a little uncertain about Nick. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's as sold as some of the other girls.
I agree. Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing is a little bit of her internal hesitation.
And that's why I felt as though a producer had pumped her up to make the love confession.
Interesting. You think
because
so?
Because I think that she's going to be one of the people that leaves that environment and realizes, like, yeah, that wasn't for me. I got myself kind of obsessed because I was there. And you would. I think anyone would. If you have one singular person to think about all the time and you're in this sort of competitive love environment.
Yeah.
And that's why I always say I just go crazy on the show because you convince yourself you need validation from this one person. And I assume when you step out of that, you get some perspective.
You're like, whoa, what was I thinking?
And you're like, wait,
and you have so much
that wasn't right
on it. Like, she spent so much time there. She's been thinking about this guy so much. She just sat down and, like, as you almost must at this point, and I'm sure she heard that, she was like, I'm falling for you. I feel so, like, amazing with you. And then she gets rejected, and she's like, you know, I haven't really put myself out there since my fiancé died.
Jeez.
You know, that's a lot to process, and it's hard not to probably feel a lot of disappointment that didn't work out. But I think she'll look back and see we didn't connect naturally. Like, there were these moments in the conversation when he was sort of hoping that she would run with things a little more. And she was sort of like, well, I did my part. And we're just sitting here having a nice, quiet moment.
I know
they
for us as viewers,
so
like that whole thing happened in 5 minutes, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 4 minutes on the show? What do you think the real time was that she opened up to him getting to the end where he's like, I just don't see that with you? Maybe 45 minutes? Or do you think it was less.
I mean, it just always happens that a girl opens up. Oh, I need to find another way to say that. She just
expresses
her feelings. And his response is to look sick. Like, he looked very uncomfortable immediately.
You can read all of his emotions on his face.
And it's hard to imagine that they just talked about some other stuff for a while. And then he was like, so remember earlier when you said that you were falling in love
back
with
to
me?
That for a second.
And how I've been having what appears to be indigestion since then. Actually, here's the deal.
Here's what's really going on.
Here's the deal. You need to leave.
Gosh. Yeah.
So I guess, what do you think that is, though? Do you think it was 30 minutes?
I think it was pretty quick.
Yeah.
Between when she...
I was just trying to put myself in her shoes. Like, I confess this to somebody, and then they send me home.
No, I mean, the great thing
about
this
turnaround
is I think it's very quick, and I think that the women can't pick up on that pattern because the woman who has that happen to her always goes home right away. So the women don't maybe have a chance to put their heads together and say, well, if you say I'm falling in love with you, he's going to get freaked out and send you home. Like, they don't necessarily know
about
that.
Right, they don't know that.
Yeah, but he does have that pattern. It's probably for the best for them, though. He says, you're just so great. He was really worried that she's going to take this to heart. And she says, not great enough.
I know, she came right out with
that. Single tear.
That broke my heart.
Single crystalline tear.
Yeah, that was tough.
I also know that feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Of just, like, feeling like, oh, you're rejecting me and you're telling me I'm great, but clearly...
Yeah.
All the you're great goes out the window, goes in one ear and out the other one.
Yeah.
The end product is, but you're not great. Like, it's essentially what he said.
Yeah.
You're great, but just not for me.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, with some space, you recognize, but in that moment, you're
hurts.
Like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you want to feel like you're so great that literally any guy would be like, I get the chance to, like, sure, I'm locking this shit down. Like, you don't want to be thinking about compatibility at a moment like that.
Luckily, per Instagram, Danielle seems to have a great life in Nashville.
Yeah, I think she's
She seems
okay.
to be very close with a lot of the girls from her season, which
and
is always
Wells.
A good sign.
And Wells, her and Wells are buds.
Yeah.
Time.
Which I'm like, that speaks well for her.
Yeah.
And she,
good pun. I see what you did there.
She goes back to pack up her stuff. She goes back to pack up her stuff and is like hugging the girls. And she's saying, like, all I want is for him to just walk back through the door, like whispering, and say he's made a huge mistake. And she, like, starts crying and she says, please walk back through the door. And I was like, oh my God, I can't handle
this. I'm like, you need to go and lay on a beach for a few days and just process.
At this point, I was on the second half of my everything bagel and I'm trying to compose myself.
You're always going to associate the second
with
half of an everything bagel
with
thighs and
tears.
And so Corinne sees all this happen, and she's like, I need to fuck Nick right now. That's what I need to do. It's time. She's like, it's desperate times, desperate measures. Bye, Danielle. I need to show Nick my sex abilities.
How many times did we see have we seen so far this season the clip of, but my vagine is platinum?
Like,
I'd say it's in the teens. I was going to say in the teens.
15?
I think we saw it about five times.
Just tonight.
That's true. Last night they played it about five times.
By the time that it actually happened, Greg was like, did she say it again? And I was like, no, that's just the actual time that she said it. That they've been teasing for the entire season.
But in typical like Bachelor fashion, they build it up, and then it was this, I felt like it was anticlimactic.
In more ways than one.
And it literally was anticlimactic. Yeah. They had the opposite of a climax.
Literally and figuratively. But props to Nick. I think I gained some respect for him in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And no guy, I think it was in the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, when they talk about it. Have you guys seen the movie?
Yeah.
But it's true. Like, any guy that goes that far down a path, or girl, and you stop yourself, mad respect for that. That is so hard to do, you know?
And he had to have just the memory that exactly that had happened to him before. Like, mm-hmm. he's in the bedroom, but he knows that all the boom mics
are
out there.
Right, the mics are there.
He's got his little necklace on with the...
Like, they clearly... I don't think they'd taken those off, because it was really clear. You could hear all the little...
It was not as muffled as
moaning noises. And he had to be, like, so hyper-aware of what would happen.
Yeah,
and that was just enough to wrench him back from the ledge.
100% made a promise to himself, I will not be that
person
again.
I'm glad he didn't.
And it makes me feel like he agreed to the early steps of it for TV because she's like, hi, I'm here. Let's go into the bedroom and just dive into bed. And he's like, okay.
No, I'll agree with you because he goes right over, pops champagne. And I don't know if you guys noticed this. He initiated the first kiss on the couch. So he sits down. They both have a glass. Then he leans over and kisses her. So I was like, oh, Nick's like instigating this a little bit.
Yeah. He's very into Corinne sexually.
Yeah, they both said he was like, I'm very attracted. Which, by the way, I've never said that. Like, I've told girls I'm attracted to them, but in a moment, I don't just say, I'm very attracted. Like
he has odd ways of expressing.
I would use, like, sexier words or, like, you know what I mean? Or
he
I'm very attracted
Danielle
to
today
your...
that he liked her face.
Yeah, he did. He was like, yeah, what
he
did
was
he say?
Like, here's some great stuff about you, your personality.
And your face.
And your face.
What's the deal, Nick? Like, you're 36. You got to have some better lines than that.
So Corinne's sex charms did not quite go the distance.
Yeah, we didn't get to see her sex abilities or hear them.
Yeah,
we heard
unfortunately.
She said something about like...
Lightly.
Don't jiggle, just
lightly
just
massage.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening?
She didn't know, here are the rules. Two hands on at all times and never jiggle, only lightly massage.
But we already know he's incredible at holding her boobs.
That's true.
No one has ever held her breasts. And no one ever will, including Nick again, because apparently it didn't go well. And he sends her away. I have to say, I thought her outfit was a little impractical for a hookup. She was wearing very tight pants.
And Christian Louboutin, how do you say that?
Oh, yeah, Louboutins.
Louboutins. Yeah. They definitely got a good shot of the red bottoms.
Yeah. A very vixen-like outfit.
Yeah, but it was very – I was like, wear a pencil skirt or something. How is he going to just yank that
You're
up?
Like, easier access.
She gave him so much time to think about what a bad idea this was just while trying to – peel the
V was very low cut though. She did have the low cut.
I like that look.
No, she looked gorgeous.
But like all covered up except just that.
I am simply talking about access.
No,
she looked incredible.
You're thinking practically. Also, did you notice that they grabbed a clip? I mean, I wonder whether it was actually originally from this time or they looped something that they had played in maybe the second or third episode where she did the driveway boob licking weird thing.
No.
And they said, I tried to do something really nice for Nick, and it completely backfired. And they had played that exact line.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember when they played it, mm-hmm. I heard it going, you didn't do something nice. It wasn't nice. That's not how I'd characterize that.
But, like, that's always kind of true of when she says that.
Yeah.
She's like,
you could tell it's the exact same wording.
I was trying to
do
something
dirty. It was such a favor. No, I noticed that.
Yeah, so they had clipped that. And
so that was retaken.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
To your point, which is a very edited season.
Yeah. This is the... I've noticed more editing this season, probably because there are just gaps of storyline missing.
Tons.
Like roses given out that we don't see. You know, Vanessa was just missing from basically the second half of this episode. Like all the girls are hanging out.
Yeah, right after the date where she said, I'm not going anywhere. And then
she
went somewhere.
Is she now taking a nap? Like, what is going on? Even I saw Christina tweeting last night.
I wonder if she had, like, food poisoning.
Christina tweeted, like, where's Vanessa?
Just that?
Yeah.
I love her.
I kind of wonder if, like, it was just a function of how the episode was edited because either
I think
Christina,
so, but, but it's obvious then. It makes it very obvious that a lot is left on the cutting room floor, which I think they usually strive to avoid making that noticeable.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the idea.
Is that a Nick thing? Is that a girl's thing? What is that?
Or is it the fact that Corinne has gotten so much?
So much space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is a big part of it.
Weird.
Okay. So let's talk about the Rachel one-on-one, and then that'll be perfect for talking about her as next Bachelorette.
The Rachel one, which one of you guys said it was the most fun, lighthearted, real,
I loved it.
Authentic, easygoing date?
They actually seemed to enjoy spending time
and
together.
And she, can I just say this, when she walked out of the house with the little crop top and the skirt, the abs showing.
She's so cute.
She's so freaking adorable in every way. And even the picture he posted last night with her, like, I think that was in Bimini, by the way. Did you guys see that?
No.
Because he had his arm around her, and it was like his way of. But like everything about her, I don't understand. I guess I don't get how.
I feel like something must go really wrong with
maybe
her
that's
family.
What it
I think
is.
It's the hometown. I think it's the hometown.
Because
something's
he
gonna
likes
go
her
weird.
So much,
and they seem the most comfortable together. Actually, like I got that sort of vibe with Vanessa during their first date, and I was like, amazing date. But now Rachel's had two one-on-ones that have felt like that. And it was,
it's true.
It was disappointing to watch already knowing the news about her as Bachelorette. I was like, I don't mind spoilers at all on Paradise because that's just the end isn't really the point. But on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, like, it was just and sort of eh.
This is like a little, but I already felt like for most of the season, people were kind of discounting Rachel for maybe the history, reasons of the history of the show, maybe because she didn't, after the first impression rose, didn't get a lot of screen time for a while. But now, like, she finally sort of broke out into the front of the pack, and already she's become irrelevant again to this arc of this show. And it would have been nice if they could have her finish out the way that The Bachelorette usually does, where she's a front runner and we really get to root for her
in that
context before.
But I think that part of the reason we saw this happen is so that America can get to know her a little more. And so it gives us one more. If you listen to, like, you mentioned this earlier, the music with Danielle was absent. The music with Rachel was very uplifting and positive. I put a lot of stock into the music they play behind.
But they could do that anyway.
They could.
They always try to make you, they always set someone up that way, you know?
Yeah, I think that because this is such a diversion from the normal for the franchise, I think they're going out of their way, and that's why they did it so early, to really make us like her even more.
Why would they then associate Rachel's being the Bachelorette with a huge spoiler? Like, traditional viewers of the show are going to be pissed.
Do you think it was going to leak somewhere? Because it's such a big
deal? I think it was going to leak, however.
So they wanted to control it?
It always leaks. It always leaks.
Reality Steve always knows.
I've never looked at it, by the way.
No, we don't read spoilers either. Like, sometimes I'll go back and read his analyses of things after the fact, but no, I don't, because I don't like to know. It's part of the fun is sort of guessing.
And I want to have raw reactions on my show, as I'm sure you guys do.
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't mind when they spoiled Nick. Again, like, I think because it was Paradise, I was like, we're so close to the end. Who cares? There's other couples.
It feels less serious. Yeah.
And the fun is just sort of watching people pair up and break up and every week. Whereas The Bachelor, you know you're leading to something. And now we've taken all of the suspense out of that Rachel dynamic. And maybe it's also just because the last two episodes have been Nick being so unhappy for most of the episode.
Yeah.
That then for me to be watching, be like, oh, this date is delightful. But we know where it's heading.
Do you think we'll ever get an explanation?
No.
So it's just going to be a bunch of theories?
I wonder if something so off the wall happens at the end that they kind of felt like this didn't matter.
Like, what do you mean? Like a Juan Pablo, like, where they're just like, we're just going to continue to date.
No, that's not even, like, I mean, like, he doesn't pick anyone.
Gosh, do you know how heartbreaking that would be if that
happened? Or he picks Rachel and then they break up.
So that's we talk about this for a
second? Because
that's my theory.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I want Vanessa, and I think it could be Vanessa, but I think that something happens with Rachel where she could potentially pull a Brooks Forrester and be one of the final two and remove herself from it.
Mm.
And that's when we see him silhouette walking along in the snow, and now it's just Vanessa, and it's not, you know what I mean?
If she left, see, I love when they leave on their own.
I kind of do too.
Great. Like, and I loved when the Brooks thing was like such a moment.
With Dez. I think that's been my running secret in my head. Is like, I think it's Rachel and Vanessa, and I think that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
That's interesting because
I feel like the only reason to spoil it this much is if you're throwing a huge faint. And then everyone assumed she was going home tonight.
Or unless they just didn't want the speculation. That's the other thing I could see. Them being like, we've made a choice. We're not basing this on who has the most Instagram followers at the end of the season. We want it to be Rachel. We're making it Rachel. That's it.
And
whereas usually they, like, you know, sign two people, have it be sort of like a rat race between the two of them. You know, they read tweets and decide, like, are people going to be into this enough?
By the way, I was interested to see. So as soon as they announced it last night, I went and looked at what her following was on Instagram. And she was at 71,000 followers, and she's up to 115 as of right now.
Wow.
And then I wanted to see what she was on Twitter as well.
She had, like, no Twitter followers.
She was at 10.7 or something
like
that.
Listen, guys, that's not nothing.
No, it's not nothing. Like, for us normal people, she's up to only 16.8 on Twitter. So I love that they're not basing it on, like, who America
already. I'm really glad.
I'm very glad.
Also because she is just the most entertaining one.
She's wonderful.
From, like, episode one, I was like, she would make a great
She'll carry. So I think she'll more than carry. So it's always a big deal to have somebody who can carry a show.
Yes.
So she'll not, we know she'll carry show, but she'll also bring it. I think it'll be like more of like a lighthearted, fun.
She's more of a Caitlyn character. She's really fun and funny. Yeah. And she's a little older, which I like because she knows herself.
It'll be more mature. So I think that the people that were skeptical about having an African-American lead will be so over the top about her that they'll be blown away that I don't think it'll ever be an issue again who they have as a lead.
I hope not, because it is 2017.
My God, right?
What the hell? How are we even – it's insane to me that we're even having the conversation about, like, this is a historic moment. I'm like, you should all be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah. I know.
It's 2017, and you've never cast a woman of color.
We are doing a thing that we have never done before because we suck. Like, you can't turn that into a historic moment.
But Rachel is going to be – an awesome bachelorette.
Incredible.
So that is the only thing that's saving me from being really pissed about the spoiler is that I wanted her to be the bachelorette.
If it had to be this way, then, like, fine. And one thing that your co-hosts on AfterBuzz were saying, I listened this morning.
Oh, Chelsea and Christina, they had Ashley on last night.
I know. Ashley, it was hard to tell them apart.
Listened. Don't tell them.
There are too many lady voices, which is something that we hear sometimes. But, like, I think I got through. They were speculating, and I think this was Ashley's idea that it was for casting reasons that they want it because they're starting filming in just a few weeks.
I think it's literally in like 10 days.
Which is really which is early to start filming.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to make sure that they had a chance to like attract some quality men, especially men of color, to the dating pool.
That's an interesting theory.
The cast.
Yeah, I heard someone say this last night, so I can't say that it's my thought. But once they started talking about it, we were at dinner last night, it started to make sense like who they're going to get for casting because – I can't remember who else is in the conversation of this age range for Bachelorette being in like the 30s. So there's Nick for Bachelors, but what other girls have been?
Like Caitlyn.
Caitlyn was
29.
29.
She turned 30 while they were filming.
Yeah, and I think Annie was
27 or
28. Annie was late 20s. Yeah. So I'm trying to think in recent memory. Emily Maynard had the kid, but I still think she was 20.
She was very young.
Yeah, she was 25, 26. So the people that we'll see, A, will be a little older, more mature, maybe I don't want to say better jobs because there's always guys with, you know, that are
but
lawyers.
But I do think that they will try to match her.
Because she's a lawyer with a dad as a judge. Not to say someone like me who's a host for a living isn't compatible, but it's just different. It's
so
not that it's one.
And I think they want to stack the deck. You're going to audition for this season of The Bachelor.
I don't think that they're.
That was a little slip there.
Emma and I were talking about this earlier. I don't think that they would let someone like us that analyzes. It's like, what's going to be our job?
Not.
We're a bachelor over analyzer. Like, that's going to be.
That would be.
Danny.
And we would be
32.
It would
be
horrible.
They just had a bachelor super fan on the
show.
Yeah,
and those people are always a joke and they never do well. So you would just come off terribly.
I will say this. Yeah. I'm very excited to see the cast. And I think that, do you guys believe they ever cast people to ruffle up the house like a Chad?
I think that they
have
archetypes.
Try
to have those people in the
there
pool.
There could be someone this season they have to do because, follow me here, if you're going to get guys that are a little older, more mature, with maybe a little more like years under their belt, respectable situations
in
their life.
Actual careers.
There might not be as much drama, so they may have to infuse it.
Oh, they're
going to
get some crazy. Yeah,
I
they're going to throw in a few crazy people.
They're definitely going to have some crazy people. But I think they have to try to, like, and I loved Caitlyn. She's a cool girl. But I don't think that they looked at someone like Caitlyn and they were like, we need to make sure we have some legit dudes.
Yeah.
Because she's, like, a dance instructor and she, like, is just kind of a normal sort of girl. She would date a guy who's a fitness instructor.
As she is.
Exactly.
Yeah, or a lawyer where I don't know, and I could be completely wrong. I don't know Rachel. I don't know if Rachel would date a guy who's just a host. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm trying to use myself as an example.
Just a host. But like, would she date a guy who trains like people in CrossFit?
I don't know.
It's hard for me to see that.
It's going
to
be very interesting.
I don't think they can cast like 15
fitness
trainers.
Yeah, they need to like widen, open it up a little bit.
We're not saying there's anything wrong
with Michael G on the show.
Yes. Michael Garofola.
Yeah. Oh, we love Michael.
Yeah, he's the best.
I do think that, and that's kind of exciting. Like, I hope they do use this as a little bit of a reset because I think because we know this show now is such a breeding ground for like move to LA and take a lot of gym selfies and like get a lot of sponsorships, which like respect. I don't blame anyone who goes on this show to promote themselves. I think that's got to be part of it if you're going on TV. Why else would you do it? But I do wonder if they're trying to sort of get a little bit more variety in terms of personal ambitions for Rachel.
And there are different ways that you can – like, Andy was an attorney, and she went on the show and clearly wanted
to do
to do something else. Yeah. But she had a certain – and not, you know, that people who are lawyers are all going to be great media hosts. But, like, she's well-spoken. Mm-hmm. She's comfortable being in front of people and interacting with people in, like, a stressful situation. There are people with serious, like, difficult jobs who would transition well into the media environment. It's doesn't all have to be, like, yoga instructors who would like to sell sugar bear hair, which is a totally fine thing to do, too. But we've definitely seen a drift in that direction a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially on The Bachelor, which used to be like, he went to Harvard and Princeton and Yale, and he's the youngest billionaire, and he wants to date some chicks with fake boobs.
What was the guy that did that, that came with a helicopter? He had like a...
Kalen,
that was his name.
Oh, my God, Kalen.
Yeah.
He was like a male Corinne.
Oh, he was terrible, but hilarious. And then I loved... And Emily told him off, and that was like the greatest moment.
Yeah, because he called her kid baggage.
Oof. Oh, so... And yeah, then she said... I'm going to go backwards, like hood rat in your ass or something.
Yeah. That was great.
If Rachel, and I'm getting way ahead, but if Rachel finds love and gets married, do you think that we see a little bit of a pivot in the franchise to people taking it a little more seriously and maybe having older Bachelor and Bachelorettes?
Maybe.
I would love that.
I would love that too. And that's why I'm asking.
I would love that.
Honestly,
maybe
though,
it's just that I'm getting older and I'm like, damn it, now almost everyone is younger than
me. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, enough of these 23-year-olds.
I used to feel too young to go on the show and now I'm too old.
Well, so maybe it's just this is the breeding grounds for eventually them having Chris Harrison as a Bachelor, which is my dream. And then I would slide in and help host the show. Maybe the three of us.
So like, your dream is just to be able to take over for Chris Harrison.
Yeah. Who doesn't want to wear a robe and mimosas in St. Thomas and just hang out?
I want to do that thing he did on Jimmy Kimmel where he just made fun of his own
He's very good at that.
I know.
That's why I like
that's my favorite thing that I would do is Chris Harrison.
Okay, so we got to wrap up.
We have to talk about Christina
and we have
first.
To very briefly talk about Christina's exit before we do.
It made me so
It made
sad.
Me really sad.
The moment that made me the saddest was when she's leaning forward on the couch with her head down and all the girls surrounded her, which shows
you can tell she's
how
beloved.
Much she's loved in the house.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of the Carly Jade moment.
Oh, yeah.
Where Carly... I'm like starting to cry.
I loved that moment.
But the way that Carly was just like balled up with grief and Jade was like holding her... That was the sort of moment that Christina was having.
And I think I'm more taken in by like the friendship moments on this show. That's the stuff that feels real to me. They've been spending so much time together. So I like when we see these women getting upset that their friends are going home, that their support systems in this environment are going home. And you could see that all of them really loved Christina.
Yeah.
And she's also just – I just really like her.
Yeah. She's so self-possessed. And we've seen her – exercise that throughout so many tough situations in the house that to see her completely fall apart is very visceral.
I do wonder if Nick almost sent her home now because he knew she wasn't going to be the last one and he didn't want to, which he kind of said, like, I don't want to take you through all of these steps. Whereas I feel like he knows Corinne isn't going to be the last one either, but
being producers are like, we need to see Rick.
And he's also like, I'll take you to the fantasy suite.
I think he thinks that Corinne and like Raven can handle it if they're not the last one. And I think he looked at Christina and was like, she deserves more. Like he literally said to her, like, you deserve someone who wouldn't sit in front of you and say there are stronger relationships in the house. And like things can develop going forward from here, but you deserve
that. That was a very
mature
thing to say.
Yeah, it was.
It's adult Nick.
I know. You're like, oh, yes, you are 36-year-old man.
There he is.
Yeah. And it's a very true thing. Like, and it's what I always end up thinking when girls like Christina, you know, she says, you didn't give me a fair chance. Or like when Corinne, thinking she was going to be sent home, was like, I'm the last one on the totem pole. I'm going to be sent home. It's not, I need to, like, this is horrible. And I was like, if you're the last one out of five girls, even you deserve better, Corinne. Like, you can't really want that. You don't want the guy that you have to knock four other girls out of the way before he's willing to be with you. And Nick knows that, and he's watched the show and been on the show and talked about it enough to have that perspective and to be able to voice it. but it was really hard to watch.
I don't feel like it got enough play either, like enough time. Like, yeah. I wanted a little more of a moment seeing her, because we didn't see her in a car leaving.
We saw her get into a car.
Sorry, get in, but like not the, you know, the interview they do in the car.
Oh, they did a little bit. We had a,
like, just a smidge. I wanted like a little more.
She said,
just like a moment.
She deserves a spot on Paradise. She said,
I did picture a life with him. I've never done that with anyone else.
Yeah, that line.
I just want to see more from her. And I hope we get, I hope she's on Paradise just selfishly so we can hang out with her more on TV.
And one other thing Nick said that was sort of telling was, I'm not ready to let Christina go, but I feel like I have to.
He has a lot of respect for her, and that did come across.
And I think normally, you know, he'll say something like, I knew that, you know, we didn't have that together, so I had to let her go. It was time to say goodbye. And it really, he sounded very conflicted about it.
He did. He did.
And so,
bonus clip though.
Corinne,
Corinne has a cheese tower on her head, featuring Christina and Raven.
And Raven, which surprised me.
Yeah, they were like, "Oh, we don't have Alexis to do the end."
But it didn't seem like they were like it was like a malicious intent kind of vibe.
I actually think all of the remaining women like each other.
Yeah, like when Rachel said she was Team Corn on Jimmy Kimmel last night, like, I believe it.
I think they all are pretty good with each other.
Yeah.
I think that Corinne is like your friend where sometimes you're like, oh my God, calm down.
Yeah.
But also you find her endearing and hilarious.
Exactly. Yeah. Like there were times when Rachel was talking to Corinne and Corinne was just like spewing emotion everywhere. And Rachel was like, you really need to stop. But
also,
in a loving way.
Rachel is like 6 or 7 years older than Corinne. So I think she has a little bit of perspective to be like,
yeah,
I'll counsel you.
But Christina and Raven have to take advantage of a moment where Corinne is asleep next to all this stack.
As you do, of course.
I love the cheese. Yeah. And then when Raven threw the cube of cheese into Christina's mouth and they like celebrated.
So cute.
Melted my
heart. I also liked how their first observation was like, Corinne looks so pretty napping. Because she's a pretty napper.
She's a pretty napper.
They've just come to accept Corinne's naps.
I respect her nap skills. She can nap anywhere.
We've reached the end. This has been wonderful.
It's been great. You guys are the best.
Come back anytime next time you're in New York.
Well, thank you for having me. You guys are amazing. I'm glad we're finally doing this.
I know. And then internet friends become real friends.
Yes, we did have you guys come to LA and do a cross podcast in LA.
I love that.
This was really
great. You guys are the best. Let's do it again.
This is the point in the show when we usually do Feminism Fails, but we're just riding such a high from the announcement of Rachel as the next Bachelorette, and everyone behaved pretty well this past episode, though we did talk about some things that we were critical of during the recap, but we're just going to skip Feminism Fails. And
we don't want to force it.
Yeah, let's just enjoy these good feelings about this historic moment in Bachelor history.
But of course, we do have our Tweet of the Week, which this week comes from Nick himself. In Bachelor World, there is no such thing as an easy D. Tonight is no different. So many hard Ds. Very tough decisions. Nick, I just want to applaud you on how topical of a tweet this is. Excellent, excellent job. And you even had the hard Ds innuendo. It's just, well done.
He's been really on, like, he's got his finger on the pulse of America right now.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks to our guest, Danny Hoyt, and our producer, Nick Offenberg.
If you haven't yet, why don't you find Here to Make Friends on iTunes to subscribe and give us a rating? We're also on Facebook. Please like us. And you can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emily Rose. Or you can always send us an email. We love to get those at heretomakefriends@huffingtonpost.com.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week for Hometowns.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee.
With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.